like to talk and read all things books and mystery. Funny stories. The characters of youth always tend to be a sleuth. The hardy boys will do. Don't forget Nancy Drew. It's a clue.
Hello, sleuths. I'm Karen.
And I'm Kelly. Welcome to It's a Clue, a faux crime comedy podcast for people who graduated from Bagpipe College, which is a real thing we learned in this book, we swear.
It is. There is actual Bagpipe College, or there was Bagpipe College. I would go.
You would?
Absolutely.
That's like even more specific than like Clown College.
That sounds so, Bagpipe College, that sounds so fun.
I mean, if you got a dream, you got to chase it. What can you say?
I'll look into it.
Karen, today we are discussing Nancy Drew and the clue of the whistling bagpipes. So, your thought to ponder. Would you rather, A, have a candid photo of yourself that you did not approve of on the cover of, like, every magazine internationally? Or, B, have a fight with a hissing wildcat in the middle of the forest to save a baby lamb? Bah, lamb. And for context, Nancy lives through both of these scenarios in today's book, so asking for a reason.
Oof, they're both bad options for very different reasons.
That's what makes this game fun.
Yeah, so basically, Bess takes a picture of Nancy sleuthing that Nancy does not know about. Then Bess submits it to a photography competition. She wins the photography competition. Good for her, P.S. But then Nancy's picture is on the cover of this magazine that, in the world of the book, sounds like it's the equivalent of Time magazine. Everywhere she goes, in the United States, outside of the United States, she is on the cover of this magazine, kind of against her will.
Yeah. I mean, it's not ideal for, like, an undercover detective.
No.
You know? Ooh. Although, I will say this. Okay, I'm sure you caught this, but the picture is described as Nancy with a magnifying glass bending over to look at footprints.
Yes, it's like the quintessential.
Yeah, the like silhouette of Nancy.
That's what I was picturing.
So it's like we now know the etymology of this iconograph. I don't know. Is that a word? Did I just make that up?
I'm adding it to my lexicon right now.
I using too many syllables today? This
Love
is
it.
Dumb.
Love it.
You have not answered the question.
I'm going to go. I'm going to have to go candid photo.
That makes sense.
Hate it. I would not do well. It's so hard to be perceived, and I hate photos of myself, and I would be so uncomfortable. But news cycles are brief. In time, the magazine would.
It's true.
Go to the next issue.
Wildcat maulings are forever.
Yes. Yeah. I would. I don't know that I would fight the wildcat, but I would grab the baby lamb and run. That I can commit to.
Well, but then then you're part of it, though. You know? You're not supposed to run away from wild animals.
See, this is why I didn't pick that option.
Yeah, no, you definitely picked right. You selected the right thing.
I'm assuming based on your reaction to my response that you would also choose the potentially horrible candid photo of yourself. You hate having your picture taken more than I do. Like
I do.
Neither of us are fans of this, so
I think I might take Wildcat.
Really?
Yeah, but it's unlikely that I would ever be in that situation, you know.
It is unlikely.
Like, if there was no wildcat, I still probably would not approach that baby lamb. You know, that wouldn't be a thing that I needed to do.
Well, therein lies the difference between you and me. If I see a baby lamb, I'm going to pet it.
You're a baby lamb toucher. I get it. Karen, should you fire up the PA?
Yes, I would love to. Ladies and gentlemen, students, faculty, and staff, it is time for our daily announcements. I have but one announcement for you today, and it is a glorious daily announcement. We have a new Patreon.
Yay!
Her name is Desiree Richards, and Desiree joined the Helen Corning fan club during the holidays. So during kind of our break, and I've been dying to do her shout out. So we are here. We are back. Desiree, thank you for finding us.
Desiree, you had a lot of confidence in us after a, what, 3.5-4 week break?
Our quiet time. Our quiet time. Yeah. Got to recharge time. The batteries.
That's right.
All right.
Well, thank you, Desiree. Welcome.
Thank you, Desiree. Kelly, with that, what have you been up to?
Nothing.
Good talk.
Yeah. I cannot state this enough. I've become one with my couch in many ways. That's not really true. I've been actually pretty busy running and about and doing, but I saw you.
You
which was
did
highlight.
See me, and we frolicked, we hugged.
We did.
We played AGs a little bit, American Girl Dolls.
We did play AGs a little bit. You're
it was
right.
The best.
By playing AGs, what she actually means is that she rifled through all of my Kirsten stuff, and I sent her home with items.
It's now in Michigan instead of Ohio.
Yeah, you went shopping in my closet. So
one of my favorite little sister activities.
You know, it's probably the first time I've ever been a willing participant in that activity.
Yes, I asked first.
And I mean, let's be honest, it was Mom's favorite part of Christmas. She was like, one more thing out of your closet.
Remove
Fantastic.
It. Remove yeah. it immediately.
Great. Can we do two more piles while you're here? but I should say, you gave me a Christmas gift that was, I mean, and like one of my favorite things that I got, probably my favorite thing that I got for Christmas was a Mary Engelbrecht. Bright, Mary Engelbrecht.
I think he's a Bright, but I don't know.
A Nancy Drew illustration, and it's adorable. You did. I love it so much. It's in my dining room area.
You hung it already? Oh,
it's seated.
I like that. Would you like to? Yeah. Can you describe what the image is?
Yes, it is. It is. It's just Nancy, Bess, and George. One of Nancy's many vehicles. You know, RIP to those we've lost. And they're like kind of 1920s Mary Engelbrecht style.
Yeah.
Adorable drawings. So I'll see if we can find it on the IG, or I'll take a picture of mine and post it. But yeah, it's so cute.
I was so excited when I found that. I couldn't believe it. I follow her on Instagram and she is a phenomenal individual. She was so big when we were young and she is still crushing it. And so I couldn't believe it when I saw that she had done a Nancy Drew painting and like print. Yeah. My favorite part is that there's a tree in the background behind them. And it's very subtle, but in the notch of the tree, there's like a secret letter sticking out of the notch of the tree. It's my favorite part.
Aww, it's very sweet. It's a very meaningful gift. So thank you.
My pleasure.
What have you been up to?
Freezing to death.
Yeah. I've heard about that.
It
sounds terrible.
So cold in Michigan. Let me tell you a story.
I'm so ready.
On Saturday morning, I awoke. Nope, Sunday. Let me revise. I woke up on Sunday morning. I was determined to go to roller derby practice. My eyes rolled open. I looked at my phone and it said, the current temperature is -2 degrees. The feels like temperature is -22 degrees. And then I looked outside and the whole road was a sheet of ice. And then I did not go to roller derby.
I think you made the right decision.
And that has been the case since Saturday, basically. It's just been, it's going to be feels like of -20 again tonight. I think the highest it's been has been 8. So.
Oh, balmy. Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of knitting, though, which has been really nice. I kind of go in spurts with my knitting, and I'm having a big knitting extravaganza right now. So that's
been what are you knitting, Karen?
There are two babies that are soon to join the world, and I am making them Blanties.
I was hoping one of those babies was me.
I'm still working on the blanket that I'm making you that's taking me a really long time because I've
great.
I bit off more than I could chew, but I'm still working on it.
You know what? I support you. You know, art cannot be constrained to a time frame. I get it. So
thank you so much, Kelly.
Yeah, but I'm cold. So
there's a phrase. It's like knit fast, die warm, and I will knit fast.
Click those little sticks together, baby. So I have a surprise for us, which we are just going to put in this section, okay?
What is it?
So I'm going to play you something over the phone in theory, and then I will lay it into the podcast track later, but...
I have no idea what's about to happen.
No, you don't.
I'm on the edge of my rolling chair.
Hey, it's me, Bingo, and I had a story that I wanted to share with you ladies. I think you'd both be able to appreciate it. So I started teaching these art classes, right? It's kind of a passion project of mine. You know, I like to teach art and, and it'd be going on for a while. And it was going pretty well. But then, like, all of a sudden, overnight, it seemed like everyone who was coming in to attend these classes were these, these mystery kids. I mean, you know the type, right? They don't listen to anybody. They just do kind of whatever they want. So here I am in front of the class trying to teach the intricacies of Tahitian macrame, and these little scamps are just doing whatever they please. You know, one of the Hardy boys just toiled away on his oil pastels, and the other one, Joe, I think, was just throwing clay on the pottery wheel, you know, just going nuts with it. Shaggy and Scooby painted a still life of a giant sandwich, and Nancy drew. Yeah, so you can see how frustrating that was for me. Okay, have a good show, guys.
Oh my god.
It's an original Nancy Drew joke.
From whence did this come?
This came from my friend Sean, a.k.a. Bingo.
Oh, Bingo. Bingo, you've knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I really love the Tahitian macrame. That does seem like something the Hardy Boys would be into.
The level of detail, I actually don't know. Oh, that, I wish you could have seen my face at the punchline too. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean. That was amazing. Yes, amazing. I had heard the joke, so I knew the punchline, but I've been dying for you to hear this.
I had not heard the joke, and I apologize to anyone that knows me in real life, because I will be telling this.
They have to come make them listen to the episode. If they want this OG Nancy Drew content, this has been curated just for this show.
Absolutely, and there's not a chance that my delivery will come close to matching what has been done here. So
correct, it is pinnacle. So, well, epic. Karen, on that note, should we move along to recommendation station? Woo woo!
Yes, and only because you made the sound.
Thank you. No, of course I made the sound. I've been told that it's a requirement.
I have two recommendations.
Okay.
First is a Netflix limited series that I just watched. It is called Fool Me Once. I believe I texted you about this. It's a very thrillery series. I think it's about 8 episodes, but it's a limited series, so it's a closed loop. It's the full story, which I
love
enjoy.
That. Mm-hmm.
It is about a woman who is ex-military. She was a helicopter pilot in the military. She is married. She has a young daughter. Her husband dies in a terrifying freak accident, and then all of a sudden, she starts seeing him in real life. She sees him on her nanny cam, and this sets off this series of events where she's trying to figure out if he's dead, is his family involved, are people covering things up. It is so good. I loved it. I love a thriller.
Nothing good ever happens on a nanny cam.
No, and it did not. It did not.
Is that one of those tree fall in the forest things, you know? Like,
if you don't have a nanny cam, nothing bad will happen.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think so.
Great.
I think that's how that works.
This is the type of delusion I want to have in my life. Cool. I'll check that out. That sounds good.
Yeah, super fun. I also, when I wrote this note, I had just started this book, but I actually couldn't put it down. So I've now finished it. But I started reading a book called First Lie Wins. It's by Ashley Elston. Mm-hmm. It is a brand new thriller that just came out, and people were raving about it all over Bookstagram. I think it was a Book of the Month Club book in January, mm-hmm. and people just can't get enough of it. So I absolutely had to read it, of course, being that it is always thriller season for me. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. It had an interesting overlap with the book I recommended recently called Killers of a Certain Age, which yes. I adored. So if you liked that book, you may also like this one.
Very good. Thank you. I'm you very graciously lent me Killers of a Certain Age, and that'll probably be next up on my list.
Oh my gosh. And in case you didn't know this, the author and their publisher just announced that they have sold a sequel to the publisher. So I don't think it comes out until like 2025 or something, but unfortunately.
It's happening.
But there will be a sequel, and I cannot wait.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
So tell me, what do you have to recommend to me this week?
Well, I am in the middle of two. Iron Flame, which is the sequel to Fourth Wing, which are the yes. little known fantasy books that no one's talking about.
Yeah.
Nice
of you to give Rebecca Yarrow some airtime.
You know, I like to see people that don't get mentioned all that much get brought up. anyway, you know, I'm like 25 pages in. There are dragons. It's pretty cool. And then I'm reading this other one. Again, I'm not done with it yet. So, you know, a soft recommend. But The Once and Future Witches by Alex E. Harrow.
Yeah. Tell me more about this. I can picture the cover, and yes. I have heard of this, but I have not read this.
It is about three sisters who have, like, separated in their lives through various circumstances, but now are kind of mysteriously and magically brought back together in, like, alternate universe Salem. And they become involved with the suffrage movement.
Oh, sold. Yeah. I'm checking to see if my bookstore is open. Yes.
It's a, so far, again, like I'm third of the way through, but it's, yeah, so far, two thumbs up.
Also, three sisters. Can you imagine if there were three of us?
Oh my God. This show would be 9 hours long. Unless only the third one was quiet, you know?
They probably would have to be, and they would hate us.
Gotta throw elbows to get some airtime in here, so. Also, I am down a rabbit hole rewatch on Sex and the City, which, again, no one's ever heard of. That's, like, a whole different podcast, so I won't even get into that. But, like, did you watch that show?
No, not really.
Oh, my God. Karen, they are all the worst, and I love it. Like, I don't remember realizing that they're all kind of horrible human beings when I watched it, like, in real time. Back in the early aughts or whenever it was airing.
The turn of the century.
Yeah, back at the turn of the century. It's a crazy show, and I'm really enjoying it, I have to say. But they're all terrible. So
I'm so glad you're enjoying it. That's always a fun moment to go
it's
back
and fun rewatch. Yeah.
Rewatch a bingeable thing.
Exactly. So that you're up to speed on my recommendations. So
I want The Once and Future Witches when you're done with it, please.
You got it. I will put your name on it.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Are you ready for me to tell you about the book we are discussing today?
Absolutely.
Perfect. The name of the book we are discussing today is Nancy Drew and the Clue of the Whistling Bagpipes.
I like how you put an H in there.
Oh,
yeah, yes. That's good.
It is book number 41 in the series.
I can't believe it.
I know. It was written in 1964 under the pen name Carolyn Keene, but actually by Harriet Stratemeyer Adams. Boop, 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 boop.
That feels absolutely believable.
Are you shocked? No.
No.
I also learned that there's an adaptation of this book. So many of our listeners are very into the adventure game series, the computer games, by Her Interactive. And the 29th game in that series is called Nancy Drew, the Silent Spy. And it's loosely based on this book.
Interesting.
Yeah. I want to play it.
Yeah. We got to get ourselves hooked up with some PCs so we can play all these games.
I know. I really want to. I will also say this book, I thought, had some very interesting history in it, which we will talk about much more later. But one thing that I wanted to briefly research, because it comes up frequently in this book, is how common an issue is sheep theft in Scotland now, basically. Because in the book, it is a big deal. It is a huge problem. It is plaguing all of Scotland. And apparently, it's still a really big problem.
Seriously?
Yes. Yes. Is Google it.
Like sheep rustling?
Sheep rustling. That's exactly what it is called. Okay. And like all this new technology has been invented to battle sheep rustling. That is a direct quote from a BBC article, to battle sheep rustling on Scottish farms.
Wild.
A direct quote from this article: sheep theft used to be an opportunistic, small-scale problem, but thousands of animals are stolen every year by organized criminal gangs.
How?
I don't know, but it is estimated that rustling in Scotland has cost farmers more than £200,000 over the last 2 years.
Wow.
And there is special coated fleece paint, coated, C-O-D-E-D, like technological paint that you can spray on their fleece, and tracing equipment that the animal can swallow that helps to identify if a sheep is stolen or not now.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it's a huge issue, apparently.
I would just think with, like, all, like, just camera technology, that that would have kind of eliminated the problem, but...
I know. I was kind of thinking, can't you just throw an Apple AirTag on one of them and see if it wanders off? I don't know. I guess they could take it off. But basically, this tracing equipment is a swallowable Apple AirTag. They have them swallow this... I don't know. But it's a... Nancy Drew did not solve the long-term problem in this book, merely a short-term incident.
Merely, she just took down one rustling ring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I was putting up our one sentence plot post, I thought I was being funny when I was like, "Is this a mystery about sheep? And can it be?" And then I got into the book and was like, "Oh, it is actually a mystery about sheep." Okay, great. I mean,
100%.
Yeah. I thought they were just there for bucolic effect, you know?
I thought they were there to find a missing brooch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do I know?
Apparently not much. We 41 books in and we are still not able to figure these books out.
Speaking of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Team transition. Would you not like to walk us through the one sentence plot?
Karen, it would be my pleasure. So one sentence plots, you know, this happen on our Instagram. You should come over and play. We post the picture of the cover. We use the yellow flashlight editions, and we ask you to tell us what you think this book is about in one sentence. Creative punctuation is usually rewarded. This week we had several new contestants.
We did.
And the first timers, like, served, as the kids say.
They did. They brought the Riz.
Exactly.
I hear that we're supposed to say that now.
Yeah. I think, oh God, I've never felt so old in my life. So on this cover, Nancy is posing on a mountainside. She's wearing full Scottish garb, like with a red and green tartan kilt. She's just casually playing the bagpipes as some sheep graze in the distance. Okay. We picturing it? We there? All right.
I'm there.
Our winner is @freckles_559, who said, "While brushing up on her bagpipe skills in the Scottish Highlands, Nancy runs across a circle of stones where she is transported back in time, hunted as a British spy, and falls in love with a handsome Scottish laird."
Sing me a song, please. That is gone. Say, can that last be I? This is an Outlander reference for those who are not aware.
Yeah. And we did have a runner-up this week.
We did.
Who was @GG_felt. I believe this person's name is Grace. Who said, "Nancy realizes that John McBride is her one true love and goes to find him in his homeland, Scotland, and learns how to play love songs on bagpipes in order to win his heart."
Girl, I wish.
Karen, I was going to say, can this just be my entry into "It Would Have Been Awesome If"?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bring back John McBride.
This is a phenomenal outcome for how this book could have gone.
Yes. I mean, really, so many. Also, can I just point out that both of these esteemed entrance recognize the fact that we needed a handsome Scottish man inserted into this mystery.
They did.
And we had zero, which was too few.
You know, although Bess did have some feelings about Bonnie Prince Charlie as depicted in oil paintings.
That... Yeah, well, but I'm talking flesh and blood, babes, you know?
Thank you so much, Freckles 559 and Grace. Beautiful, beautiful submissions.
And without further ado, it is time for today's super fast plot, written and read by you.
Okay, so I have a disclaimer. There was actually, for one of the very few times ever, a pretty solid overview of this book as the official book blurb.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this, which is not a symptom of laziness. I think it's actually important in that this book is very complicated, and I'm impressed that they were able to distill down the plot well.
If it makes you feel better, I almost texted you and said, why don't you just use the synopsis in the front of the book this time? So
this on the same page. We will deep dive into the very weird specifics that spring off of this, but I just want to give credit where credit is due. I don't know who wrote the synopsis. Carolyn Keene, Harriet Stratemeyer Adams, someone in the syndicate, who knows, but I did not.
In the syndicate. It just sounds so evil, like megacorp.
I think it is. Warnings not to go to Scotland can't stop Nancy Drew from setting out on a thrill-packed mystery adventure. Undaunted by the vicious threats, the young detective, with her father and her two close friends, goes to visit her great-grandmother at an imposing estate in the Scottish Highlands, and to solve the mystery of a missing family heirloom. And there is another mystery to be solved, the fate of flocks of stolen sheep. Baffling clues challenge Nancy's powers of deduction. A note written in the ancient Gaelic language, a deserted houseboat on Loch Lomond, a sinister red-bearded stranger in Edinburgh, eerie whistling noises in the Highlands. Startling discoveries in an old castle and in the ruins of a prehistoric fortress lead Nancy closer to finding the solution to both mysteries. The end. It's funny reading that out loud. They kind of write like I do when I write these. And there's another mystery. And then these three things.
And then five more things. And then it was over.
Yeah, they too recognize that they have to creatively use punctuation.
Yeah. Man, I love a bunch of commas. It's, you want to talk about love languages?
Mm. The serial comma.
So, Karen, can we proceed on to our deep dive section?
I would be delighted.
Fantastic. I'm thrilled to hear that. We are once again on the same page. So, would you please at this time share with me your GTNMs, aka your general thoughts and musings?
I will. I don't think I have ever been on Google so much during a Nancy Drew book as I was with this one.
Awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoy. Listen, there were a lot of history lessons in here. Lots of facts.
There were.
We went on several museum tours. But I found them really interesting, and I also have learned that if I'm feeling frustrated trying to imagine something or picture it, I can often Google something. And in this case, I could directly Google it because the places they were going were real. Mm-hmm. So, I did a lot of looking up of things. I thought this book felt actually kind of scary at certain points and was a little dark for a Nancy Drew book. I didn't really think they were going to get whacked necessarily, but the criminals were very spooky to me at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they weren't messing around. There was, like, danger with a capital D.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
What about you?
I didn't look up anything, Karen. really can't stress that enough. Looked up nothing. I pretty much just read it and kept going like, ooh, this is just like an Outlander the whole time. So I would say overall, not my favorite just because this is more of a tour guide than a mystery.
That's fair.
But I will say that some of my like to date favorite Nancy Drew moments occurred in this book. So it balanced itself out.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear. Okay, you know what? Perfect transition. The next part of this podcast is our favorite parts.
Perfect.
So you said some of your favorite Nancy Drew moments ever are in this book. Tell me. Tell me now. Tell me what they are.
Okay, great. So It's almost like we've done this show before. We know how to set up these transitions, but we didn't plan that. So
no, we did not.
I am actually going to steal your section of real world River Heights.
Oh, please do.
But this is like Highlands edition. So I'm going to start with George, who just keeps offering to rip off suspects' facial hair.
You're right.
It made me laugh so hard. Like, on two occasions, she, like, goes to Nancy and she's like, I don't think that guy's facial hair is real. I'm going to go rip it off. And Nancy's like, maybe not.
Maybe,
like,
don't do that. You know,
what? Just let's maybe err on the chance that that is a real mustache. Maybe don't. I think that might give us away, you know? It made me laugh really hard.
I love that. And then also, correct me if I'm wrong, but at the end of the book, this perpetrator is apprehended.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who says it. It's either George, Nancy. Whispers mm-hmm. to the police, yeah. I think his facial hair is fake. You should try to pull it off.
It's George. She is very invested in proving that she's right about this guy's facial hair. And it's hilarious.
She was right.
She was right. But I just had this visual of George just walking up to this dude on the street and trying to rip his face off, you know? It's like, yeah. It's too funny.
Don't do it.
Bess is Outlander's target audience.
That's correct, yes.
She is basically just in a full body swoon the entire book, which mm-hmm. I understand. She thinks Bonnie Prince Charlie is a full-on babe. I don't think she wants to go back to River Heights. Like, she's into the Scottish culture. She finds it very romantic, and she's not wrong.
Loves it there. Mm-hmm. You have said it perfectly. She is just living her best life. Mm-hmm. She says to Nancy multiple times, oh, your great grandmother owns this estate here. Why aren't you and your dad living here? You should move here. And I'm like, Bess, I think you want to move there.
Which also, though, I'm like, great question, great granny. Like, you do have living heirs, you know, maybe Nancy and Carson want to come over here for a couple of vacays, you know?
Yeah. We've never spoken to her before, but here she is now.
And what happened to the grandmother? You know?
Oh, yeah. We'll never know. Probably.
We learn that Ned is the nicest boy that Nancy knows, aside from her father, which I'm not sure that I'm thrilled with, like, the comparison scenario, but I take her point. I'm like, that's very lovely. And I know that I am not always the biggest Ned Nickerson fan, but I have to say, I thought he was like a peach in this book.
He is really nice. He is a nice guy, and he's got a lot of follow through.
He has some great follow through. I will tell you specifically. So, number one, he comes over to Nancy's house to tell her all about his trip to, like, South America or something. I don't understand what this man is studying to do. I really don't understand. But he comes in and he's like, would you like me to put your car in the garage? Which I was like, that's such a nice thing to do. It was for a reason. We had to know Nancy's car was on the street. But I thought that was very nice. And then he goes on to be like the boots on the ground of the River Heights Clue crew to continue investigating when the gals all take off for Scotland. And he did. I mean, it's not like it was the hardest mystery to solve, but he did it. He did the dang thing.
He I have thoughts on this later, but you know, he helped.
He helped, right? But okay, but this is truly one of my favorite things that's ever happened in one of these books. I read it 6 times. So Ned is at Nancy's house. He has parked on the street behind her car. And then all of a sudden, there is like a great crash and an unmanned vehicle has been propelled into Nancy's car, destroying her car, which I wish so much that we had been actually counting cars at this point. It's got to be at least 6. So her car is ruined and the collision forces her car back into Ned's car, which it dents his bumper and it breaks his headlights, but it's still drivable. So when he leaves after dinner to take his car to the shop to get it repaired, it's so funny.
I don't think I can say it either.
It's so funny. He takes Nancy's flashlight and borrows another one from Carson and tapes them to the hood of his car to replace his headlights. Oh, it's just the most sweet baby angel thing I've ever heard in my whole life. And it's also giving flashlight arms, you know?
It served major flashlight arms and also charmed my socks off. I agree.
It was the cutest thing I've ever read. I was like, oh, Ned, like, such a Boy Scout, and I love it.
Bless.
Okay, I will stop there. I have additional favorite things, but that concludes this section. So, yeah. How about you give me a favorite thing now? This is how this works.
I'm going to give you a double whammy of two combos of Scottish history.
Great. I'm excited.
First of all, bagpipes play a big role in this book.
Yep.
As you may have been able to guess from the cover. And at one point, as Nancy is learning how to play the bagpipes, which takes her approximately 11 minutes, we learn that bagpipes did not originate in Scotland, which I did not know.
Yeah.
It was first played in Egypt, like ancient Egypt.
Huh.
And
I recall them saying that, yeah.
It didn't have the big airbag made of animal hide, but it had the chanter piece and the drone pipes. And so it made that like droning sound that also had kind of a, what's the thing you play in grade school? Like a recorder situation.
Yes. Yes.
So it started in Egypt. And then, direct quote from the book, I think Fiona Fraser, who is their new Scottish friend, tells them this. Imagine that Aristotle and Julius Caesar were pipers too, for the Greeks and Romans also played the bagpipe. Then the custom spread through Europe by the Celtic and Roman invasions.
Fascinating.
So the bagpipe was just chilling in ancient Rome as well?
Apparently.
That's so cool.
I know. Only associated at this point with Scotland, so.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Fascinating.
Also, I will listen to a bagpipe all day long, and I have gone down many YouTube rabbit holes of modern day female, very punk rock bagpipe players.
Ooh, that's cool.
And there are some incredible music videos. It's mind blowing. I will send you some. I love it. I could listen to a bagpipe. I'll do it right now.
I would love that. Would you please? Also, yes. Put like a slice of life interest moment that you may or may not know about me. I was in a production of Brigadoon in high school. And
I'm keenly aware.
Yes, it's. I was telling one of my friends about this the other day, and I was like, that is the most beautiful I've ever felt in my whole life. And they were like, why? And I said, because I had this really great wig. They said, what did it look like? And I was like, it was long and brown and curly.
So your current hair.
Just like always the hair I've had. No, but we had a real bagpiper in that show.
Gave me chills. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. For some reason, I have this like primal reaction to it where when I hear a real bagpipe in real life, it makes me cry. I get goosebumps and I just like weep a little bit. It's just
two of my friends. It's a very emotional sounding instrument for sure.
I had two friends get married and they were walked down the aisle by a bagpipe player and I was I can't. I have my feelings. It was beautiful.
Did you cry as much as I did at your wedding? I don't think an activity like that has ever been seen. So
I cry all the time. I'm crying right now. Okay, my other Scottish category. We learned some Scottish food things in this book, Kelly.
Oh, we sure did. My favorite part.
The first thing that we eat is called kakaliki. It's hyphenated. And I Googled it. It's a delicious and simple 5-ingredient chicken broth, Scotland's national soup.
Yeah.
The very first recipe for kakaliki soup was printed in 1598.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
That's old.
Are you going to make this for me?
I will. Yeah. Would you like me to?
Yeah, I would love that. And then you can also make me the dessert that goes with it, which is called treacle dotties.
Oh, gosh. That's so nice of me to do all of that for you.
I know. You're so sweet. I didn't fully Google this one because I loved Nancy Drew's description of this, explaining that treacle dotties are basically just, quote unquote, brown sticky candy balls.
Well, that leaves me a lot of room for creativity.
Precisely. So
You got it. That's what I got.
Bagpipes and Scottish food. Loved it. One of my favorite things about the book.
Here's what we'll do. So we did our one like during the pandemic cooking episode. I will say the next time we're together, I can cook and, you know, we can talk at the same time.
That sounds great.
Great.
And then I'll eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Lovely. Okay. Thank you for going on this version of the History Channel with me. Okay. Next favorite part for you.
Danger.
So much danger.
So much danger. So, okay. So right at the beginning of the book, we have the old bomb in the mailbox trick.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy, oh my gosh, I just don't think people are equipped to deal with bombs in the 60s or something. It starts ticking and Hannah's like, you should step away from the mailbox. I think there's a bomb in there. It's ticking. Reasonable advice. And Nancy is like, no, it's only ticked three times. I still have some time. And I was like, I don't think that's how that works at all. Like, if I've learned nothing from 24, it's that's not how bombs work. So she grabs it out of the mailbox and yeets it into the backyard where it explodes.
Like, she rips the whole mailbox off the front of the house and throws the entire mailbox, which I
you're correct
was impressed by.
Yeah, yeah, feats of strength. I'm here for it. But yeah, that bomb explodes, and I was like, well, that was potentially lethal. Okay, next. At some point, we're in Scotland. We go in like a castle or something. There's like a tour of a prison, and they lose Nancy.
Yeah,
and for a moment, the tour guide is concerned that she has been shut up in the suffocation chamber in the basement that is still accessible to the general public. I was like, what in the Edgar Allan Poe is happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like there's this cutout in the wall and then you can close somebody in with like a big rock that's still sitting right next to the hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And they will suffocate in 7 minutes. And I was like, you know, listen, I don't want to presume to know how we should be handling our historical guided tours through other countries' historical properties, comma. I would think that perhaps this should, like, can we move the rock further away, maybe?
Yes. Yes. It's like, oh, you wanted to see the suffocation chamber? Well, let me give you the kit.
Thank you. Let's imagine the big rock, you know, and then imagine there would be a big rock here. Great. Fantastic. We're all involved.
We could have had an infographic is what you're saying.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. We could have had done it.
That would have been probably better. I wanted to see, did you have any comments on the autopilot on the plane going out? Great.
No, I have no comments on that. And I refuse to think about it. Just like I refuse to acknowledge that the wall of the Alaska Airlines plane got sucked off a week ago. I just can't, yeah. I can't know about that.
Yeah, that wasn't great. That wasn't, that's not what you want.
Yeah, no.
And lastly, Bess very nearly drowns in Loch Lomond.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about this.
Yeah, she gets like swept into this big melee, into this loch, and she almost drowns. They have trouble getting her out. And this is all happening next to an overturned houseboat where there is like a little baby child who is trapped and their mother who has been knocked unconscious, who then we also have to save. So just there's a lot of derring do.
It was pretty terrifying. That storm was terrifying. Bess getting, she's literally blown away like a twig in the wind.
Yeah.
That scene stressed me out. That's why part of why I thought this book was so dark. I was just like, oh my God, you don't know what's going to happen. The elements are against us.
Yeah. The nature is coming.
God, it is. It is, Kelly.
What else you got?
Vehicular incidents were at an all-time high in this book, as we have discussed. So I won't belabor it, but you mentioned that a car crashes into Nancy's car in front of her house, which then crashes into Ned's car. So we've destroyed two cars in chapter one. Mm-hmm. They get to Scotland. They get a rental car. They're immediately run off the road and drive it straight through someone's very nice decorative privacy hedge. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming causing considerable damage to the rental car. Perhaps the pinnacle of car destruction in this is that the Clue crew, plus their new pal Fiona, are in their next rental car. They're on a ferry. And as they are disembarking the ferry. They're going down the bridge in their vehicle. The bad guy with the pull-off facial hair basically tries to run them off the gangplank, and he does. He does.
And succeeds.
He speeds at them. They get knocked off the gangplank. They sink this rental car to the bottom of the lock. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad saying this, but the whole time I was like, oh no, all of their luggage for this very long international trip is in this car. No. And then it was addressed. Some nice man swam out to the car and dove down and got their luggage out, and I was relieved, TBH.
Yeah. That man also volunteered to pull the car out with some of his friends, just like with their bare hands.
And doesn't Nancy say no?
She did. She was like, that seems a little much. Why don't you get like a tow truck? And he goes, yeah, we could do that too. Do you remember the scene from The Fugitive? Like, that's all I could think about.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I was like, the world's worst place to commit a crime is on a ferry. Like, that is the definition of a closed room mystery.
That's just what I was going to say. Yeah. You can only go so far.
We are on a very small island.
Yep.
But do what you got to do.
I would say that, yes, the vehicular thing. And then if I may give you one more of my favorites.
Of course you may. Yes.
To conclude my favorites. I jotted down that Nancy is wanted in Scotland essentially for check fraud. She, at the beginning of the book, is signing autographs for people. A creepy guy gets a hold of one of these autographs. He buys it from a child. And it is now being used, her signature is now being used to commit check fraud in Scotland. And she's trying to exonerate herself of this. People aren't listening to reason. She's like, I don't even have any accounts open here. How could I be committing check fraud? Like, I just got here. None of that matters. But then in the vehicle, she encounters a forest fire with her friends. She jumps out of the car with them, and they're using these brooms that are stationed throughout the forest for this very situation to beat back the forest fire. And by the time the proper authorities get there and they see her putting out this fire, they say, you know what? Let's just forget the whole check fraud thing. Somebody who commits check fraud wouldn't stop to put out a forest fire. So they just let that go. They let it go.
It's it was almost a full locked up abroad situation. I was nervous for her for a minute.
Oof. Yeah. Broke down palace. I've never been the same since I saw my God.
Right? No joke.
Never been the same. Yeah. So when in doubt, do another good deed in your previous when misdeeds.
When in doubt, correct. That, you know what? That is a great takeaway. Other good takeaway is don't hand out autographs.
That too. Yeah. She should have. I feel like this has happened to her before. She's had her signature.
I feel like it has.
Taken away from her before. And I don't know. I don't know what you do, though. She didn't want to be rude to the children asking for autographs. I think I would lie and say, like, oh, I have a broken hand, and then just run away.
Yeah, it's well, so my question is, like, why would they actually need her real signature? Like, you're going to a foreign country where she doesn't have any accounts open. It's not like they're matching it to something. Couldn't they just sign her name? I don't know how this stuff works, but like that, you know. The 4 seconds of thought I've given it, that doesn't seem like that would make any sense, but
yeah, I don't know. I guess they were trying to cover their trail in case there was any way for a matching to happen, but you know. Anywho.
Okay, I have one more and it'll be quick.
Okay.
So this picture of this painting of Bonnie Prince Charlie that they see, the way you look, like when you look at the painting, it looks like nothing. But then when you look at it through like a cylindrical mirror, it pulls all of these random shapes together and you can see the image, which I thought was pretty cool. And then that becomes, there's a clue like that later because, of course, there is. And Nancy finds this canvas with all these weird shapes on it and she makes herself a cylindrical mirror with like, help me, like some kind of metallic.
Quicksilver.
Thank you. She paints the inside of like a cylindrical vase with quicksilver and then she uses that to look through at this painting and it shows her like the Outlander ring of stones, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then they go to there. And it was a crime scene.
It's not an outlandering of stones. You should Google this construction. It's called a block, I think, B-L-O-C-H. And it is a massive, like, fortress of stones that the Highlanders used to build to hide in.
You could fit a
whole village in there. It's really cool. I'm sorry. I geeked out so hard on this book. I thought this thing was... I watched a YouTube video about it, Kelly.
Did you? That's so fun. I knew you would do all the research for me. I told it's you. Really I was cool. like... They said stones, and I was like, just like Outlander. And I turned the page. I went right on.
Kelly.
Yes, Karen.
Senior detective.
That's me.
Do you have any changes you would make to this book in the style of it would have been awesome if?
Sure. It would have been awesome if, seriously, John McBride had shown back up. Like, I wanted that deeply.
It should have happened.
But in lieu of that, it would have been really awesome if, and I would be cool with this, like, in just about any context, but I think it would have worked extremely well in this context, if we would have caught the red-haired guy, like, way earlier, like halfway through.
Yes.
And then Nancy can use her wiles to turn him to their cause.
Oh.
Or just, like, bribe him. I want him released back into the sheep gang as a double agent.
Love it.
I want an inside man on this thing.
Love that. Yep. I see it.
I think it would have, like, a lot of my complaints with the mystery component of this book were that it was insane. Like, I just don't really know how to say it better than that. It was crazy.
I think
a lot of
fair.
This stuff were, like, the most gigantic leaps I've ever heard of in my entire life. And it would have made way more sense if they had somebody to interrogate to get a lot of this information and then worked with somebody on the inside. That would have been fun for me.
I think that's great. And I have a similar beef, which I will talk about in my rating. But the scope of this mystery just got way out ahead of us.
Yeah, like, yeah, it did.
We're here to find a brooch and now we're spelunking through suffocation caves. Correct. Saving baby lambs. I am with you.
Yeah. There's a wildcat involved. Yeah. How about you? Any critiques for the improvement of this book?
Mine is far-fetched and takes a lot of leaps of logic, but I like it, so I will share it with the class. At one point, the Clue crew goes camping in Scotland. They're going to sleep under the stars.
I love this part.
I did too. I loved it. And, you know, part of the sleeping under the stars is they see the mysterious bagpipe player standing on a misty mountain who is signaling to the sheep thieves.
the sheep thefters, yes.
The takers of the baby sheep. And while they're camping, their friend Fiona Fraser is like, hey, P.S., a bunch of my friends are camping too. Let's go hang out. So it's basically this camping party, like teenager camping party. Love it.
Super fun.
They're playing Scottish music. They're doing Scottish dances. They're telling tales. They're cooking out together. It's just so lovely. And I wanted there to be something to that, but there's not. They just go their separate ways. Meanwhile, we know that someone who looks a lot like Nancy is going around impersonating her with all of this check fraud. I thought it would have been so cool if this person happened to be on the camping trip and Nancy looks over the campfire. She thinks, self, that Titian-haired girl looks a lot like me. She stays up all night, listens to what she's saying. She follows this lookalike who's rendezvousing with the bad guys. And then we have all of our classic, you know, Nancy Drew overhearing scenarios.
Yep.
I think that could have been cool.
A coincidental camping trip leads to a coincidental overhearing, which Indeed. Leads to busting this case wide open.
And I just think it would be so fun if Nancy encountered her check fraud doppelganger face to face at the bonfire cookout.
It would have been.
Yeah.
I like that. Nice
thank
work.
You. Thank you. Thank you
That's
so
a good
much.
One. Yeah. I like that. So, Karen, do we have anything I ask to add to Nancy's never ending resume?
Oh, we do. I added 1, 2, 3, 4 things to her resume. Nancy is an award-winning model, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. photography subject.
Yep.
Which is,
unwitting,
sort of,
but award-winning.
Yeah, really Bess won the award for her photograph. But Nancy is all over magazines here and there. She learns to play the full-on bagpipes in, I'm not exaggerating, 10 minutes.
Yeah. No big deal.
Expert.
Mm-hmm. Expert bagpipetress.
I called her Smokey the Bear because she prevents a forest fire.
She does. You're right.
With nothing but a broom. Mm-hmm. And I would say she is also a absolute Snow White in this book because she saves a baby lamb from impending doom and then she hugs it.
Aw, you're right. Was that right before or after the bluebird landed on her finger?
That was just after the kittens made her bed.
Right. Got it. Yep. I remember that scene now. Yeah. Okay. Well, Karen, I must ask, after all of this, do you have any open questions that are going to keep you awake tonight?
I have something that kept me awake last night.
Oh, about my goodness. Book.
I need you to explain this to me as an actual sleuth and a person who watches sleuthy things. And you watch lots of criminal-related investigations. And something about this just felt like the biggest gap in logic that has ever happened in a Nancy Drew book.
Mm.
She is trying to defend herself to the cops because they are after her for check fraud.
Right.
And she tells them, I am not a check fraud. I don't have any accounts. We've discussed this. Someone has a copy of my autograph. They are using it to pretend to be me.
Mm-hmm.
During this camping trip that we described, she finds this criminal's lair. It's this little shanty out in the woods where the shepherd may sleep while they need to when the flocks are out there. She goes in there. There are lots of clues. There's a book of Gaelic, and beneath the Gaelic dictionary is the piece of paper with her autograph on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She tells the cops, she leaves it there, mm-hmm. and she tells the cops, if you need any proof to believe me, go find this shack in the woods. You're going to find a Gaelic dictionary, and underneath it, you're going to find a piece of paper with my signature on it. I was just there. I saw it. You can go see it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, what? How is that helpful? You just said you were there.
You're not wrong.
So you walked in there and you signed your name on a piece of paper and left it. Like,
yeah, what is that proof of?
That just confused me so much.
I'm just confused,
but
no, the only way that would have worked is if it had been like visible from a window in a locked building.
Yeah, or it somehow, you know, like the pictures where people hold up the newspaper with today's date on it or something. I don't know. I'm just like, Nancy, this makes no sense.
Well, and realistically, even if you could tell that she hadn't been in the room, what does that prove? It just means that somebody has her autograph. It doesn't mean that they've been using it to forge anything.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's not sitting there next to, like, you know, canceled fraudulent checks or something.
Yes, thank you. It just felt like...
great point.
I know that we jest a little on this podcast, and we have had questions about sleuthing approaches before, but this was the first one where I put the book down and thought to myself, I don't think this makes sense.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. It doesn't make sense. I hadn't thought about that.
And it worked. The cops were like, yeah, absolutely. You know what? It is there.
Show
you're
us.
Right. It can't have been you.
Yep. And now next to this fire putting out in business, you know?
Ugh, I just, that stressed me out. Didn't love it. Okay, what's going to keep you up at night?
I think the bagpipes are like extremely hard to play.
I would have met. I've always assumed so. Yes.
Yeah. And yet. Anyway, I guess I have no questions. I just have like kind of judgmental statements. I just don't think she could learn how to play the bagpipes that fast.
I don't either.
I suppose it is probably no harder than learning how to stand up on a moving horse in 10 minutes. So, you know, suspension of disbelief, I suppose. But
you make a great point. And it also makes me, I don't know if Jake will have listened this long, but Jake, you submitted a great one sentence plot guess in which Jake refers to the Loch Ness Monster as a water horse.
the OG water horse. Yes.
The mysterious water horse, indeed.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Well, Kelly, let's rate this puppy. Let's rate it. This week we are rating Nancy Drew and the Clue of the Whistling Bagpipes out of a 12 possible baby lambs.
Aww.
And I do realize that baby lamb is redundant and I do not care.
Nor should you.
So what is your rating?
I give this book 9 out of 12 baby lambs.
Oh, that's much higher than I thought you were going to give it.
Karen, it was for me too. I started doing my takeaways and my add-ons and I was like, the first time I did it, I got 13 out of 12. And I was like, well, I didn't like it that much. So I had to redo it. So -3 for all of the talking head tour guide stuff. Not here for it. I know that was your favorite part. -2 for no Jamie Fraser equivalent. I feel strongly about that.
Yes.
-1 for the phrase sheep graveyard, which is still giving me chills.
Yes.
+2 for better danger, but immediately -2 for dealing with it terribly.
Oh, an immediate cancel out.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. +1 for Ned being an ange.
Oh, he is an ange, a baby ange.
Yeah, he's baby so ange. Good. +1 for Nancy finally getting a reward, even though she had to recover it herself. And +1 for the phrase, everything's Jake.
Jake, that should be the name of your podcast.
Yeah. Everything's Jake.
Everything is Jake.
Yeah. What did you rate it?
I gave it 9 out of 12 baby lambs.
Amazing. We are simpatico.
My math was very complex as well. I actually had a piece of scratch paper to check.
I had a calculator. I was actively like, what's 12 minus 6? Oh, really, Kelly? Come on.
Okay, I immediately gave it -12 baby lambs for cruelty to animals, the sheep graveyard. I removed all lambs immediately for cruelty to lambs.
Yeah.
Then I gave it +6 baby lambs for dazzling me with history.
Aw, you love a Mr. Rogers moment.
I do. I love them so much. Yeah. I gave it 4 baby lambs for new friends that help with sleuthing. That's my favorite. I loved Fiona. Aww. That's also the name of my cat, so I am partial. But I love when we get a new sleuthy friend on our trips, and we haven't had that in a while.
We haven't. No, you're totally right.
Yeah, Fiona ruled. I did give it -1 lamb for something that you disagreed about earlier, but I just thought Ned got too much credit. He got any amount of credit in solving this mystery when he basically got one lousy clue on like day one.
Okay. I mean, I'll accept that.
We just always get to the end of the book and it's like, let's celebrate how this mystery was solved. And I just feel like Ned got close to an equal amount of celebration to what Nancy received. And I'm like, no.
I didn't feel that way, but perhaps I need a reread. I believe you.
I'm just salty. I'm sorry. I'm salty.
It's okay. You don't have to apologize.
So, Kelly.
Yes, Karen.
What do you want to read next?
Well, how about some more Nancy Drew?
Okay.
Yeah. How about Nancy Drew and the Phantom of Pine Hill, number 42?
Is that the next one in the series? Great.
Sure is. Sure is.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend. And most importantly, you can find us on Instagram at It's a Clue Podcast.
And if you'd like to, please join us on Patreon and become a Helen Corning friend, which is just a bestie of the show. We will give you a shout out when you become a patron. You now get some bonus content for new episodes, starting with season 3. And our patrons get to vote to select Super Sleuth titles. So join today.
Come on over. And remember, everyone, what we learned today in Nancy Drew and the Clue of the Whistling Bagpipes.
What did we learn, Karen?
Perhaps even more important, I would argue, than remembering to bring your flashlight is remembering to put gas in your car before you go meandering through the Scottish countryside. Mm-hmm. You may end up in a high-speed chase and you will lose the perpetrator and it will be entirely your fault for not planning ahead. And that is just how embarrassing.
And with that,
happy sleuthing!
It's a Clue is hosted by Kelly Biscopink and Karen Farmer. Our logo is designed by Courtney Kyle. You can find her on social media at I Am Courtney Kyle. The It's a Clue theme song was written and recorded by Danny W. You can find her on Facebook at Danny W. Music. Audio engineering is graciously done by our friend Mark Goodlow.